Dean Smith is with us here on Sports Byline, and we're talking about his third book, The Carolina Way, Leadership Lessons from a Life in Coaching. I had to smile when I saw this book, Dean, because I remember the last time you were with me, you had just come out with the book, A Coach's Life, 40 Years in College Basketball. And one of the questions I asked you was about the experience of doing a book, and you said, I don't know if I'd do it again.
I really said I would never do it again, I think, Ron.
Yes.
And that's when, even though that went very well, you know, as far as, in fact, I think it's still out in paperback, but what really hit me was when Dr. Bell, he's well known internationally. He has Bell Leadership here in Chapel Hill, adjunct professor at the School of Business. He saw all this and said, we must do a book to help people. And, of course, I thought that was a little far-fetched that a coach could help the business world, and I still am not, as we talked earlier, I'm not quite convinced it's exactly the same, but that's why we have him come in with that business perspective. And as much as I enjoy, you know, talking about the book, I feel a little silly, because who am I to say I'm a leader? I know the players did what I asked, so I guess I'm a leader, but and I hope that it can help some people.
Dean, one of the things that I'm interested in is a coach's, your philosophy about adjustments, because as we go along both in life, in a game, in business, you got to be able to adjust on the fly. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, I always wanted to change for something to get better at doing it, but you can overdo that, but you certainly can't say we're going to do it this way every year. Every year I coached, we made major changes. When I say major, we had a philosophy, was play hard, play smart, play together, but offensively, defensively would change with the personnel because we never had exactly the same personnel back. You know, they graduate and move on. So it was interesting how each team, maybe I changed too much, I don't know. Sometimes I would go back. But I think it's important, you know, that you do look at, all right, can we do this better? And we can, even though it's something that you didn't expect to happen, well, you have to change. And we do cover that pretty much in the book.
When I take a look at college recruiting, and I think you know as well as I do that there is a lot of problems, most notably in football, I suppose, with the recruiting process. And I posed this question the other night on the program about, do you think the colleges and universities recruit for character? You, having been somebody that recruited a lot of great players, the Michael Jordans, the Kenny Smiths, the George Karls, and others like that, talk to me about the character aspect in recruiting.
Well, I think it's important for your team, but the university demands, you know, the academic part. But still, we would look for that. In fact, even in recruiting, we'd ask not only the high school coach who coached him, but a coach that opposed him, trying to get a more of a feel of what kind of person he was. And, you know, you do that when you go in the home. We're lucky in basketball that you recruit so few that you get to know their parents and the family. But we had some great representatives, and I was fortunate to coach them. And, you know, I can't believe all this happening now is coming out, but still there's all campuses are having trouble, alcohol-related deaths, alcohol-related date rape or something, and that's very common. If you go to each big university, there's two or three, but certainly, a coach can only do so much. Coach Barnett, Colorado, for instance, there's no way he can control 100 football players when they're on their own. And but I'm sure he really sat down. I heard he's a very good disciplinarian. But still, something might have happened that's not good.
When we take a look at the situation in Minnesota, we take a look at Chris Webber up in Michigan, the Georgia situation, the Baylor situation. What is happening? I don't think these are isolated situations. Are these just a reflection of society in general, Dean? Or is there a legitimate problem in college athletics today?
Well, I think you have a good point there that in general society has changed. But I don't know. I think we could go back and learn something from the freshmen being ineligible for a year, you know, to make sure they come in wanting to get a degree. But I'm concerned, you know, as you are, and still So many good things come from athletics. You talk to anybody that was an athlete, he learned to stay with something, the discipline to stay with it, to try very hard. So it isn't, I don't know where it's headed, but perhaps number one, the NCAA really has cracked down. I think we even, the best thing I remember, Father Joyce at Notre Dame, I was on a committee with him in 82. He got up and read that we got to do something about this football. There, some kids are they're being paid. And he goes on, all the bad things happening. Then he read the clipping. It was from 1921 at Yale. You know, so they had their problems back then as well.
Yeah, I'm concerned about it, and I'm even more concerned when I hear Miles Brand, who's the head of the NCAA, make a public statement to the effect that sports, collegiate athletics, is not big business. That's what I did, too. I laughed.
I haven't heard that one. $6.2 billion from just the Final Four over 11 years. But it's big business, but still, I don't know of any school that really wants, Ron, to make money. They want to, you know, they make them, let's say we have 28 sports. We have to barely make break even. And we have 21,500 paying a lot of tip for a basketball game and a big stadium and football. But we really want everyone to have a scholarship. And, you know, in the women's sports, it's been so great for women. And, so it isn't like they're trying to make money, but I agree with you. That's a strange thing. It's not big business.
Yeah, we and Bobby Knight, of course, responded by saying, well, if it's not a big business, then General Motors is a charity.
He's got a quick wit, too. I like Bob Knight.
When you look at the direction of college sports overall, at least from a coaching standpoint, the pressures the coaches are under, where are we headed in that aspect, Dean?
Well, I think coaches have always put pressure on themselves. I'm one of a handful I know that really, got out without having to be pushed out. It's been true throughout the years in basketball and football, the high-profile sports. But basically, it's going to be that way. We're all overpaid. I was underpaid the first 14 years and then grossly overpaid. I never asked for a raise, but, that comes with the territory. I'd be happy, and I know most coaches would be happy to be like professors and get, where they'd have their jobs, but they wouldn't be paid very much because most coaches just love to be a coach and look forward to going to work like you do, look forward to being announcing, and now here you are worldwide.
Dean, when you got to North Carolina, what were the expectations of you as a coach? I mean, obviously they wanted you to win, and where was the line drawn at what point in your career of 36 years where it wasn't good enough just to have a good season, a winning season, going to the NCAA tournament? Because you took a lot of heat toward the end of your career of people that weren't happy that you didn't win enough national championships.
Well, it was better than in the beginning because when I came, the president put North Carolina State and North Carolina, they canceled this, de-emphasized to 16 games. That was my first year. Everybody else was playing 25. I could only recruit two from outside of North Carolina. And so there weren't great expectations. But then expectations did come along, and in 1965, we lost to Wake Forest, and a group of 75 students hung me in effigy as we came back. But, so the coach has always been under the gun, so to speak. But now, they will get rid of you quick, and they end up on TV now.
Roy Williams is on the campus as a head coach at North Carolina. The last time you and I talked, we talked about why he didn't take the job the first time it was offered to him. What was it that you said to him, the university said to him, that finally got him to take the job?
Well, his situation had changed. Now, he knew we wanted him. He's a Carolina graduate. Both children graduated Carolina. He lives, his family is from North Carolina. And I almost had to beg him to take him as a head coach back when he was an assistant in North Carolina because they wanted a proven head coach. Well, he certainly proved he could coach. But this time it was strictly they changed the athletic director was probably the biggest part, in addition to his sister not feeling very well. And his wife, his family were, they're close, and, and they wanted to get back to the state. But it was a very difficult decision, and Roy said it best. He said, the people of Carolina don't understand what a great thing I have at Kansas. People in Kansas don't understand what a great job that it is at North Carolina.
We only have a couple minutes left, but your legacy in basketball certainly is established with what you did record-wise, but on a personal level, when you look at all the players you turned out, all the coaches that are coaching that were assistants under you, what sense of satisfaction do you get?
I really have been fortunate. You know, they've done it on their own, but my gosh, I've been lucky, and the fact that we had this, Roy Williams wanted a big reunion. Anybody's played at Carolina, and that was one of the greatest evenings of, you know, one player would represent the 1960s, 70s, 80s, the 90s, 2000, and the best, and all of them were good. They loved the university, and what a great family it was. So I just pinch myself sometimes and how lucky I was to be with this kind of group that we had at Chapel Hill.
How big of a challenge is it to create the family atmosphere, whether it be in sport or in business?
Well, I think you really have to care about everyone, and I think we really had something going there. I remember when Michael Jordan gets so much attention, but if one of our players ever ask for something, you know, he'd get them tickets or whatever, and he didn't even know them, but he knew they played for North Carolina, and that was certainly special. But it's not only Michael, but it's throughout our group. And in fact, they get needled so bad in the pros, any of our guys in the pros, if Carolina loses, oh my, the other guys really. Julius Erving once, we lost to William and Mary many years ago, and Doc, I see him later, and he said, oh, you lost to Mary.
Yeah? Was it hard for you to walk away from coaching ultimately?
It was, except I was watching Larry Brown, my former captain and assistant coach, but he had the Sixers there in 97. And I just decided I'm not as enthusiastic as Larry. It's time to get out.
Dean, I want to thank you very much. Congratulations on this book. It's a wonderful book, and I love the way you presented it, both from your coaching philosophy, also from a player's perspective and from the business perspective as well. Please come back and join us anytime here on Sports Byline. You've been very kind to us.
Well, congratulations to you, Ron, and all you've accomplished there.
Thank you very much. Dean Smith with us. The name of the book is The Carolina Way, Leadership Lessons from a Life in Coaching, and it's fascinating because this man not only has accomplished so much in basketball. As I pointed out, he is the winningest coach in NCAA basketball history with 879 victories, and his teams won 75% of his games. But he also touched his players. And I think that's the more important thing, that they come back, they give back to the university, and they realize that the lessons that he was trying to teach them when they were players for him are lessons that can be applied every day in life. We'll take a break, come back on the other side, continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.